Okay, everybody's done.
I still went to three.
Okay, everything's on tape already, so all the weather forecasts are being recorded. Okay, this is Prisel's back into the swing of things back from 2 weeks ago. So we were discussing the sugya and confusion of the shlichus for God, or lack thereof. The Gemara derives from a pasuk of Tem Gam Tem that there's no shlichus for Akum. The only issue was we weren't sure what the nature of that din was. The nature of that din that a goy is mufka for the entire pasuk shlichus. Shlichus doesn't speak to goyim altogether. But we say no, that fundamentally a goy can be a shlich. Fundamentally, it can be a shalech. The only thing is that when you want to have a relationship between a Jew and a non-Jew, that's not going to fly. The whole notion of shlichus is shlucham kemoso. There's this deep connection between the Mishalech and the Shaliach, and that connection can't be made between the Jew and the non-Jew. But in theory, if you had, let's say, a non-Jew asking another non-Jew to be a Shaliach, maybe that would work. So we quoted a major machlokes acharonim between the Masas Ben Yom and Magen Avraham. Can one Akam appoint another Akam as a Shaliach? And again, the lump of this being, what exactly is the deficiency? Is it a chisaron of going being mufka legamer from Shalichas, or is it just a chisaron of Jews in going can't relate to one another, one guy to another guy would be acceptable. So we spoke 2 weeks ago about a real life communal dina for us, not just a theoretical question for all the grim who are running and lining up the SGS to Shia list, but there's no gaff in the mice. For us, we spoke a little bit about the question of handing over the animal to the veterinarian, and you know, I give it to one non-Jew, gives it to another non-Jew, is that serious on a whole complicated story that depended on that. So do we have any rives from the Gemara? The sugyas of ancient of the Akam are very, very small, just a little bit of a couple of lines of Mem Kedushin. Do we have any sugyas that may impact on this Shaila? Can one non-Jew appoint another non-Jew as a Shaliach? So there is a fascinating raya that is brought by the Sefer Machan Ephraim, from the Gemara Masechet Sefer Dezor, and from Gilma Odeis. And I put the Gemara in the Marmakamas. So it's kedai to learn through this Gemara together. It's a Ramesh. The Gemara itself is fascinating, and the Raya of the Machan Ephraim is very creative and fascinating. Whether we accept the Raya or not is another story, but we'll try to go through the Sugya a little bit together. But the Sugya on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis in Maseches Avodah Zarah. It's about a third of the way down. The first word of the line is Orcha. Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Orcha Kamash Milan, Kiyadu Amar Rav Yudah Marav. So the Amar Rav Yudah Marav. Yisrael shezokah flaveina lishtach vaslo. If a Jew takes a brick and he stands the brick up and gets the brick all ready, all propped up to be worshipped, he's about to bow down to this brick. And the guy beats him to the punch. The guy comes, I guess like Lahab, like we learned 2 weeks ago about, I'm about to do a mitzvah, somebody steals my mitzvah, and Reuben's about to be Ovid of a Zarah. And Shimon pulls him over, the guy pulls him over, John pulls him over, and bows down to Reuben's brick. So comes Rav Yudah and says, Osra. So the brick becomes Osra Bahanra. The brick becomes like a Dovra Nefan. Anything that was worshipped as a Badazara becomes Osra Bahanra. Sounds like, why the crazy case? Why the wild scenario? One guy's standing up the brick, the other guy's bowing to the brick. The answer is that under normal circumstances, this would not meet the criteria of being Osra Bahanra of a Badazara. Because we have a principle called Ein Adam Oser Dovra She'enu Shalo. A person cannot affect the prohibition on property that he doesn't own. So say, for example, if I go to your backyard and I take a tree and I bow down to your tree, it's not garnish, nothing. I'm chayv misa from the moment of Eretz Yisrael, but the tree doesn't become us, the item doesn't become us. Sir, how can that tree is a bad example of smuchu b'karka? Even something that would, let's say, you have something, you have a table and you're sitting in your backyard, and I decide I want to worship that table. So it's garnish, it doesn't do anything, the table doesn't become also. I can't cause a prohibition to take effect on something that belongs to you. However, Rav Yudah Marav is telling us a chiddush, that over here, even though the goy doesn't own the brick, so at first glance he doesn't have the ability to asa the brick, since the Jew already got the brick ready, and clearly the Jew is very happy, the Jew wants this brick to be worshipped, so that's enough to overcome that problem of Ein Adam Osra Dovra She'enu Shalo. So that's the Chiddush of Yudah Marav, that even though it's true that the brick, L'maisa Ein Adam Osra, doesn't monetarily belong to the goy, but since the Jew was maskim to the Savoda, proof positive he himself stood the brick up to be worshipped, that's enough for the Isser HaNoah to be Chal on the brick. That was Rabbi Numarav's Chiddush. How did Rabbi Numarav know this? Menoah the Osro. How did he know this? Maybe it's not true. Maybe you have to literally be the owner of something in order to answer it. So I'm Rabbi Elazar, Kitchilasa Shel Eretz Yisrael. He derived this principle that it's enough to create an Isser even if I don't literally own it, as long as the real rightful owner is okay with what I'm doing. He learned this from the Avodah Zarahs that were present in Eretz Yisrael from the very beginning when Klai Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael. The Amar HaChamana, the Torah says, Asherem Tosafun Ma'esh, the Torah says that all the trees that were worshipped as idols, all the Asherahs, for those who remember a couple of months ago, we had a famous Asherah tree in our extended community, the Pesach Asherah tree, that we had a lot of discussion about. A couple of months ago, we had a Meshugana who worshipped a tree in his backyard. So we eventually he sold the land, we got our hands on that tree, so we were Yotzei Mitzvah D'oraisa, Sreifas Asherah. It was a big event a couple of months, right before the summer, we had a Sreifas Asherah here. Anyway, if you missed it, I would say get the next one, hopefully there won't be another one so forth. So when the days of when Klai Yisrael entered the Eretz Yisrael, so all the Asherahs, all the trees that were worshipped, had to be destroyed, had to be burnt. Asherah, this is from Ba'esh. So he asked the Gemara very long, this is Shaila. Michde Yerusha Hilahem Yaviseyem, who owned those trees? Who owned those trees? I said, the Goyim, the Knani, the Chitim, they're worshipping, bowing down the trees right and left all the years when Klai Yisrael were building pyramids in Mitzrayim. Who was the rightful owner of those trees? The answer was Klai Yisrael. The Jewish people were the owners of those trees. Why? Because Eretz Yisrael was already promised to Klai Yisrael, Yerushalayim Eveseyim. It was already promised to Avraham Avinu. The Gemara says in Basra that the Jewish people already owned Eretz Yisrael. So in Dini Maimonides, they had the right, they had the title, they had the deed to the land of Eretz Yisrael. If they owned Eretz Yisrael in Dini Maimonides, it was already gifted to them by the Ribbono Shel Olam, they owned all the trees that were in Eretz Yisrael. If they owned all the trees that were in Eretz Yisrael, Ein Adam Osa Dabash, Ein Shaloi, he said, how in the world could the Goyim, by bowing down to those trees, how did they create an Isser of Avodah Zarah? That's a big problem. So the Gemara is going to come to the solution in a minute. The Gemara says, wait a second. Maybe not. Maybe, in Ochinami, maybe all the trees that were bowed down to after Avraham Avinu was promised Eretz Yisrael. So in Ochinami, maybe those trees did not become Osir. The Imishim Hanach the Me'ikara. Maybe the whole reason why we had to destroy the Asherah trees is because there were trees that were still around from hundreds of years before Avraham Avinu was even promised Eretz Yisrael, where the people between the days of Noah and Avraham, they were the owners of Eretz Yisrael. Whoever they conquered Eretz Yisrael, they owned Eretz Yisrael. So they worshipped the trees. Maybe those were the trees that have to be destroyed. So says the Gemara, no, that can't be. That cannot be that the Halach is requiring that we have to burn the trees that were worshipped pre-Avraham Avinu. The halacha is that any Avodah Zarah that belongs to a guy, that is worshipped by a guy, can be nisbatel. All you have to do is get another guy to give it a kick, throw some dirt on it, make it into a leitzonos, it's called bitla Avodah Zarah, it's a mishnah b'sechet Avodah Zarah, that a guy can be mevatel Avodah Zarah shel ha-goy. The only type of Avodah Zarah that can't be nisbatel is Avodah Zarah shel Yisrael. So now, we're in a pickle because we're trying to understand Pshat of this pasuk. The pasuk says, when Klai Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, they had to destroy the Asherah trees, implying that the trees had become Asur. Not only had they become Asur, they had become Asur as of an Azar Shal Yisrael. They belonged to Klal Yisrael. If they only belonged to Goyim of the Avodah Zarah from Priyam Ravino, then Bitta would have been sufficient, and you don't have to burn them. So we have to find the case of Avodah Zarah Shal Yisrael. But Manoshach, if it belongs to Shal Yisrael, how did it become Moshe in the first place? Ain't other Moshe Davash and Shalom. If it belonged to the Goyim, then it's subject to Bittul. You don't have to burn in the first place. So what's the Torah telling us? The Pesach in Parshas Ray, it says, you're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, get all those Asherah trees, make a big bonfire, burn all the Asherah trees. For what? When you have to burn the Asherah trees? If they're Goyish trees, they can burn as Bittul. If they're Jewish-owned trees, they were never also in the first place. So says the Gemara, it must be, what happened is as follows. Ella, mit de palchu Yisrael le'egel, golu adatayu de nichlu be'avaris kichovim. When the Jewish people worship the Egel Azov, they indicated that they like Avodah Zarah. They're very big fans, they're fond of Avodah Zarah. So once they're fond of Avodah Zarah, v'chi osu avdi kichovim, shlichusa didhu avdei. when the goyim go ahead and bow down to the trees 500 miles away in the middle of Eretz Yisrael, they're considered to be like the shlichim. They're acting on behalf of Klal Yisrael, who are very, very happy with what they did. So what do you see from here? The only way to explain the phenomenon of having to destroy, to burn Asherah trees in Eretz Yisrael must be based on this understanding that it belongs to Jews, and Af Al Pi Chein, the goy has the ability to aser it. Based on what? It must be that since the Jew is happy about what's going on, the goy is acting on behalf of the Jew. So comes the Gemara and says, Achinami, so too we could derive a din Ladoros. Yisrael Shezocha Flavena, when a Jew props up a brick, Gal Yadayte Denichale Beveres Kichavim, he indicates that he's happy with a Verezar being worshipped. And therefore, when the goy comes and bows down to the brick, he is actually acting as the agent of the Jew. So the Gemara makes what a jump. I mean, a million years I wouldn't have said such a thing, but the Gemara was in a pickle. We were in the corner. We couldn't figure out the scenario of Asherahs that have to be burnt. We discovered that the only scenario is Jewish-owned Asherahs, which are being worshipped by goyim, with the understanding that the goy is acting on behalf of the Jew. And from here we derive that if a goy does have a nazar on behalf of a Jew who's okay with it, that avodah zarah becomes asur. The Gemara is still not 100% sure that the facts are right. Just because the Jews worshipped the Egel, that means they were okay with the goyim bowing down to trees. How do you know that the Jews worshipping the Egel is a proof positive that they want everyone else to worship other idols? The Gemara says, no, that when Klal Yisrael worshipped the Egel, it was a free-for-all. They said, all of the Verzara, please come and come worship. We're more than happy. It's one big party. Everyone should worship idols from here on in. So comes the Gemara again with quite a rigorous halacha analysis of the story of the Asherahs and the Egel. But the bottom line is, it's based on this principle that the goy is acting on behalf of the Jews. Now, if you look just at the...
But Ladoros?
Yeah, that's right.
So, if someone comes to someone's backyard today?
No. It's Ladoros in the sense of that if we know for a fact that the Jews are happy with what's going on. So, in the days of the Midbar, for that split moment in time when they were worshipping the Egel, they were happy for all of the Zeros. Now, Baruch Hashem, we don't want Avodah Zarah anymore. But if one Meshugana decides that he does want Avodah Zarah, he becomes like his great-great-grandfather back in the days of the Egel. So the din is Ladoros. The facts are not Ladoros, but the din is Ladoros.
We want to say that it's real Shlichus.
Oh, now. So, it's a very fascinating Gemara. If I wouldn't have told you beforehand that this is relevant to Asugya, I'm not sure anyone would have even seen this. What does that do to Asugya? Comes the Machna Frayim, and he says, look at the magic word the Gemara said. Gemara said, also have become shlichusa to do avdei. The goyim are the shlichim of Klal Yisrael. So the goyim in the days of the midbar were the shlichim of the avdei egel. The goy who worships the brick is the shliach of the Jew. Put the brick up, standing up on a pedestal. Correct the machna from shlichus. The joke is that shlichus. You never learn kedushin after an half. Ain't shlichus the avdei shlichus for goyim. Comes the machna from and says, I'll tell you the answer. Says the machna from. When a Jew worships Avodah Zarah, so we know that he becomes almost like an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Like every certain halachas, let's say the Moshul. If a Jew worships Avodah Zarah, if he shechts an animal, the animal is treif. If he touches the wine is treif. There are a whole series of different halachas. A person becomes a mumal Avodah Zarah, he becomes mamish like a dino ka'akum. Not totally, but for many, many areas of halacha. Says the Machna Ephraim, one of those areas of halacha that a mumar dino ka'akum becomes like an akum for is hechush shlichus. He's no longer called atem gamatem. He's no longer called the Yisrael in the parsha shlichus. He's now called the goy in the parsha shlichus. Does that make things better or worse? Well, says the Machna Ephraim, for our sugya it makes things more efficient for shlichus. Why? Because says the Machna Ephraim, the Master Spin Yomim is really right that one goy can appoint another goy as a shliach. When the Gemara says that the Jew, at the time of the Chet HaEgel, appoints the Goy to worship the Asherahs in Eretz Israel, that's working with the regular rules of Shlichus, so I guess the Machna Ephraim. I ain't Shlichus the Akum. Ain't Shlichus between a Jew and an Akum. But between two Akums, yeah, Shlichus. Where's the second Akum? The answer is the Dinuk Akum. The Jew, who's the Eved of Erizara, he becomes Dinuk Akum. And now, who's the shlichus? The parasha shlichus, he's treated like a goy, and one goy can't appoint another goy as a shlichus. At kan tevir machnefer. That's a raya. I mean, nobody thought that raya before, nobody after. That's a raya. You have to bamshpi a goyin shemagoyinim to read this Gemara and see in this Gemara the raya from the Masa B'Jum. No, who's going to do it?
The shlichus was the
geirus
and the kabbalas matan complete, but when
No, they were already Jews. They were full-fledged Jews. Right? They became Jews right from Matan Torah, at the time of Matan Torah. They were still full-fledged Jews. Ein shlichus ravera. It's an interesting idea. Ein shlichus ravera. Jews, yes, wait a second. If this is shlichus, I got a problem. Ein shlichus ravera on this one. Assuming that principle works by goyim.
And by goyim, isn't shlichus connected to our ravos?
No. If you were reading this Gemara, and we weren't learning this Gemara in the context of Kedushim and Malach on the base, would anyone of a million years have said this is Shlichus?
It's a Gila Das. It's not a problem of Einadim.
Shlichus is a Malitzia. Shlichus is just a figure of speech here. The goal of this Sugya is Einadim Oysid Abashen Shabbat. I can't go to your backyard and bow down to your table and ask your table. Unless you're okay with it. Unless you consent. So all we need is to hear your Gilui Das, just to be sure that you're okay with what I'm doing. You never appoint yourself to be a shliach. You have to be appointed as a shliach. Klai Yisrael, the time of the Engel, sent out a mass text to everybody in Eretz Yisrael. Please worship your Asherahs. We hereby appoint you as our shliach to worship Asherahs. It's not a joke. It's not like that. It's not shlichus. For the purposes of this sugya, all you need is gal yadayte de nichalei. Shlichus is just a lashon, just a lashon mushal. It's a borrowed phrase. This is bechlal not shlichus.
That's in the case of truma, sometimes megal and das.
That's a trick.
Already, yeah.
Right. So we spoke about that a little bit. Shlichus pashas needs a form in a shlichus. We had that tricky Rambam about right. Gilui das. Right.
I was trying to think if there's such a thing as shlichus that's outside of actually being mamana shliach.
Right. You're right. Except for that Rambam pashas, you need a real form in a shlichus. So at first glance, this Gemara is not really such an ironclad raya. But Rabbi Sai, there's an unbelievable, potentially very, very serious consequence that emanates from this Machan Ephraim. What was Mundach and Machan Ephraim's Rishon? He's defining who's Jews and who's Goyim for the purposes of the rules of Shlichus. So he took a stand and he said, a person who's an Ovid of Azara, after all, is Dino Kachom. Harai is Dino Kachom. If he shuts the meat tray, if he touches the wine's tray, so if he wants to be a shliach, he goes down the goyish of Asher shlichus. That's so poshut. Someone who's over the Benazar is Dino Ka'akom, the whole Dino of Torah? Not true. Give me an example of halacha that he's not Dino Ka'akom. Where is there an area of halacha that, just because the guy's over the Benazar, doesn't become Dino Ka'akom?
Still chayv Shabbos.
Still chayv no mitzvahs? Doesn't become a goy, becomes part of the mitzvahs? Give me another area of halacha. It's kedushin. If he's mekadesh and isha, she's not mekadeshes. She's mekadesh. The Gemara says beferish in Yevamos that if someone who's a mum lechol darko becomes mamish and ivid of benazari, converts to another religion, and he gives a ring to a woman and says mekadesh, she's mekadeshes. According to Ruba, the Rishonim, she's mekadeshes ben haTorah. One lone opinion, Rishonim, Gaonim, it's a make of mekadesh ben haTorah. Pash says she's mekadeshes ben haTorah. So the din that mumar is dino ka'akom is not an absolute rule. Certain areas of halacha, it is in certain, and you have to figure out, you gotta learn the sugya of mumar ka'akom properly to figure out which areas of halacha yes, which areas of halacha is no. So the Machan Ephraim, even if he's right that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and our sugya in Gimel is a din of shlichus, his second hanocha, his premise that a mumar is dino ka'akom vis-a-vis shlichus, is a really, really big chiddush. It's a very, very big chiddush. Not only is it a big chiddush, but it's a potentially very, very, very dangerous chiddush. Because if the Machan Ephraim is right, so the following halacha will be true. If you treat a mumar as a dino ka'akom lecho shlichus, what would it then be if a mumar appoints a Jew to be a shlich? What do you say about that? Because the Machan can't have it both ways. The Machan Ephraim is telling me that a mumar is dino ka'akom lecho shlichus, therefore there can be shlichus between a mumar and a goy. Then the corollary of that statement is that can't be shlichus between a mumar and a regular Jew. So if a mumer appoints a regular Jew to be a shliach for him, it won't be good min haTorah. If this Machan Ephraim is right.
It could be that he only has a connection from the let's say in the Gemara's case of Bnei Yisrael and Avodah Zarah in the Midbar to the Goyim is in this specific area. There's only a connection between them and Shlichus in Avodah Zarah, but not in other. I mean, the Gemara doesn't bring a riot from any other area they did and said, therefore, the Megal Adas, they can do Avodah Zarah. There has to be a Shlichus between them.
No,
so maybe the Shlichus to the Jew would only be in every other area, but in this one area, there'd be Shlichus.
Okay, so you're 100% right that obviously, let's say, just because a guy speaks Lashon Hara, that doesn't mean he's Megal Adas, someone can worship his stuff. So you're right. You have to be an Ovid of an Azor in order to create that Gilui Das. But L'chora, once you take the objective stand that someone who's a Mumer is Dino Ke'akam, and that parish of Dino Ke'akam spills over to Hilchos Shlichus. So then once you're committing in Hilchos Shlichus, a person is either a Jew or is a Goy. So define. If you tell me in the parish of Shlichus the guy's a Goy, so then L'chora, he can't appoint the Shlich Hilchos Trumid, can't appoint the Shlichus for the Ebris of Allah either. I'd say you're right in what you're saying, that there's an Avodah Zarah component here, but Hilchos Shlichus, ultimately you have to decide, either pick, what's this person in category, Jew or Goy? So what's so damaging? What's so dangerous? So next time that John, the guy who went off the derech, became a mum, became a Goy, so he can't appoint Shlichus, big deal. We rely on this, all the time, we used to rely on this. If you get in, a guy gets married, a frum guy gets married to a frum girl, and over the years, he goes off to derech legami, becomes mamish converse in our religion. For us, we think this is crazy. In the Middle Ages, this happened more than once. So the guy says, there's such pressure, decides to go, gets himself baptized, he joins another religion, becomes a mumer. His wife's crying, she doesn't want to live with this guy anymore, she wants a get. So we called John, we say to him, you know, could you please give your wife a get? John says, listen, Rabbi, you don't remember, I'm not Jewish anymore, I have nothing to do with your religion. Listen, John, we used to know, you used to be Yankel. He said, listen, do your wife a favor, do us a favor, give her again. So John's being annoying, says, oh, you know what, the rabbi, I can't do this. But whatever has to be done, you take care of. So the rabbi, so the dayanim say, John, do you appoint this as your shaliach to write the get, deliver the get? John says, yeah, you're my shaliach. Okay, get out, I'm leaving, I'm busy, I'm going to church. So what's it in? So in the days of Rishon, it happened. His mamish happened. It was not a crazy scenario that happened. According to the Machan Ephraim, what's the problem?
Switch.
He just switched teams. He just became a goy. As a goy, he can't appoint shlich.
At this point, if you elevate the point, it's the maaseh only by Avodah Zarah that determines his actual act to be in the category of a goy, because he's doing that maaseh with the goy, and he's involved with Avodah Zarah. In all the contexts, we could say he's the tshuva, or he removes himself.
He didn't do tshuva. He didn't do tshuva.
So this act is an act in Avodah Zarah that puts him in the framework that he becomes.
But the halacha that a person becomes zino ka'achom within those areas of halacha that applies to applies even outside of Avodah Zarah. Right. The Gemara has dinim zeiravin, shchita. There was a lot of different areas. Which have, at first have nothing to do with Avodah Zarah.
But doesn't it? Shechita.
Shechita, yeah. I was nervous about when I gave that example that someone's going to pick up and see who picked up beyond that. There's a machlekes tais in the Rambam where the why is that a goy can't shech, because the real chashash from Avodah Zarah is because tais mufka. But there are other dinim as well. Let's say a person becomes a muma of Avodah Zarah, becomes a dino in the sense ka'akom, he becomes dino ka'akom in other areas of Lachan, because Erevin, the Gemara says, becomes dino ka'akom. So it's not just limited to Avodah Zarah to Kedin. So if you're willing to go on, on a limb and say that Hilchos Shlichus, he becomes like Goy, then the Achronim have a big, big taina against the Machan Ephraim. It's going to come up with a tremendous Chiddush Ladina, which the Maaseh is not what the Minhag HaOlam was for many, many years. Not the Minhag HaOlam. Anyway, I hope I'm getting it's an interesting, it's a fascinating Machan Ephraim. There's still an unresolved issue. Can one Goy appoint another Goy as a Shliach? According to the Maaseh Binyamin and the Machan Ephraim, yes. According to the Machan Ephraim, absolutely not. But basically, I want to go a little bit further in the sugya of Ein Shlichus L'Akum, because there's no question that to some degree there's no Shlichus L'Akum. That's for sure. To some degree there's no Shlichus L'Akum. But I want to analyze a potential very real nafgamina, which Mamash plays out for us L'Maisa L'Maisa. We have a Gemara in Masechet Bat Metzia, we do a little bit of a background to learn the sugya, the first Bat Metzia, and eventually be able to relate this hopefully back to Akum. Gemara Baba Tzid Daf Yud Amud Beis. They put it on right. The Gemara is discussing the principle called a kinyan chotzer. The Torah tells us in two places that where the halacha otherwise requires that I deliver something to somebody's hand. Let's say, for example, a get. So a get has to be put v'nosim b'yada. The Gemara is quickly points out the eighth paragraph of getim. Ein li ali yada chatzer minayin tamalav v'nosim b'komo. Well, it's up from Drasha. It's the Erasakos of Dimin HaTorah that to fulfill the pasuk v'nosim b'yada, when you need not give it just on hand, you can give it to a chotzer as well. Then the Gemara has a similar din about Geneva. What if a person steals something without literally picking it up? He steals it through a kinyan chatzer. Say, your animal walks into my backyard, and I get so excited. Wow, what a great opportunity to steal that animal. And I quickly go lock the lock the backyard, and I was coded, so to speak, the animal with a kinyan chatzer. I'm considered a big animal, I have to be careful for that. So the Torah says in two different examples, that when the halacha is benosim biyada, yada means to include chatzera, himatze biyada yageneva, yada comes to include chatzera as well. So the Gemara says, here we derive a call to Argula, there's a kinyan called the kinyan chatzer. If I want to give you a gift, I want to say something, I put it into your chatzer, so you're coded. So comes the Gemara on the Yudam Veiz in Bav Mitzion, and now raises a detail. Everybody agrees that it's in a chatzer. The Gemara raises a lom de shashayla, what the nature of kinyan chatzer is all about. So comes the Gemara and says, Yamar Ishlach, it's about a third of the way down. First one in line is Tzidei Rishu Sarab. The Amar Reish Lokesh Mishub Abba Koyen Bardula. Reish Lokesh said in the name of Abba Koyen Bardula, not sure what that was. Kitana Ein Lo Chotzer. If a Kitana, someone under the age of Bas Mitzvah, wants to acquire something with a Kinyan Chotzer, it's not going to work. Kinyan Chotzer is only for grown-ups, only for Gdolim, not for Kitana. And similarly, the Ein Lo Arba Amos. Not only does a ketana not have a kinyan chotzer, she doesn't have a kinyan dalal amos. A kinyan dalal amos is not really a tafek. A kinyan dalal amos is a sugya also in the first paragraph of Mitzvah. That chazal and misapkin, if I'm in the middle of the street somewhere, and I see a lost object, and I want to be zocha on it, and I didn't actually pick it up, but I'm within dalal amos of it, so I'm kinyan. Now, minatari, that's not true. Minatari, you're not kinyan until your mamish pick it up. Midirabana, they're misapkin, for whatever technical reason, they're misapkin, even kinyan dalal amos works. So kinyan dal namas b'dirabanan was patterned after kinyan chotzer deraisa. Kinyan chotzer deraisa means it's mafish my backyard. Literally, I own this here. It's my property. It's got my name on it. So that's the kinyan chotzer deraisa. But that one is saying that your dal namas in the middle of the street, even though for my monetarily you don't own this, it's just a rabbim. But b'dirabanan we're going to treat your dal namas like it's your chotzer. So whatever the din is vis-a-vis kinyan chotzer on the level of deraisa, that's going to be the same din vis-a-vis kinyan dal namas on the level of dirabanan. So Reish Lakish taught us that both for the Kinyan Derais of Chatzah and the Kinyan Derabban of Dal Amos, the Ketana doesn't have. For Rabbi Yechon, Mishra Rabbi Yani, Amma, Yesh Lachatzah, Yesh Lachatzah, Yesh Lachatzah, Rabbi Yechon disagreed with both statements of Reish Lakish, that a Ketana has both Chatzah and Dal Amos. It's the same shit. What's the Lachatzah? What's the Kudus of Lachatzah? But Michael, what are they arguing about? Mar Sovar Chatzah, Mishra Yada Isra Boy, Ki Hechad Isla Yad, Chatzah Nam Isla, Umar Sabah Chatz Mishum Shlichus is Shaboy, Kheche the Shlichus Lais the Chatz Nami Lais La. Chamzi Gemara says, Alom de Shashayla, what's the nature of this Kinyan of Chatz? The Torah is Bechadish as Chatz, both by Geneva, by Gev. How do you understand it? So the Gemara raises a Chakira, it's not a Chorani Chakira, it's a Gemara's Chakira. And Maram raises the following Chakira. How do you understand the nature of this din that Chatz is going on? You can understand it one of two ways. Either you can understand that Chatzir is a chiddush Torah, and it's considered to be my yad. It's my hand. My hand doesn't mean literally my five fingers. My hand means my fingers, so I put something into my mouth, that's a kinyan yad, so I put it under my arm, that's a kinyan yad. So my chotzer, my property, that's considered to be an extension of my hand. But it's fundamentally rooted in a kinyan yad. It's just an extended kinyan yad. Yad erich d'dam. Well, maybe no, maybe we got to go wrong. Yad means my yad, means my body parts, that's my yad. So what's pshat at the dinner Torah that chotzer works? A whole different lomdus, says the Gemara. We know there's a parasha of shalichos, that I can appoint somebody to be my shaliach. That shalich's not my yad. Shalom Zom Kamois is a different person, a different entity. What he does is kind of for me. So maybe the Torah is mechadesh, there's a person to be a shalich, and then there's an inanimate shalich. An inanimate shalich is what we call a chotzer. So whenever I tell you, do me a favor, put something into my backyard, so you're putting something into my backyard is my shaliach. My backyard is not my body, it's not my yard, my backyard is my shaliach. Sounds like a very academic, very theoretic, but who cares? At the end of the day, chotzer works with Torah, so what's the difference whether it works with chotzer or mitam yad or mitam shlichus? So the Gemara says, no, this makes all the difference in the world. If you hold that chotzer is nishum yad, should it work for ketana? Can I give a get to a ketana? Absolutely. A ketana has a yad, lekablos a get. So just as a ketana has a yad, lekablos a get, so too, she should have a chotzer, lekablos a get as well. If chotzer is an extension of yad. But if you hold that chotzer is nishum shlichos, what's that problem, Rabbi Sai? If you hold that chotzer is nishum shlichos, then we're in a pickle. Why are we in a pickle? There's no shlichos for a katan. A katan cannot appoint a shlich. The parsha shlichos is given to gedolim, not to ketanim. How do I know that? That's a machlokes rishon. Hopefully, we'll talk about that later on in kedushin. But that's a given in the sugya. So Gemara says again that if you hold, let's take a look at it quickly again. The ma'ika miflagi marisav achatz mishum yadish rabbi. So the first opinion held, Rabbi Yochanan held that chatzes mishum yad. Ki heichid isla yad, just as a katan or ketana has a yad. Chotzer am Yisla, so too she has chotzer. Umar Sava, the other opinion said, chotzer shem shlichus is her way. Chotzer is like shlichus. Chehechi the shlichus la Yisla, chotzer am Yisla. Yisla. Just as she has no shlichus, she has no chotzer either. Then the Gemara goes back and forth and back and forth trying to figure out what is the din. Who's right in this machlokes? It's quite possible that the maskonas of Gemara is that chotzer is b'shem shlichus. At least to some degree, not completely complicated end of the Gemara David Aleph, but we're going to work for now with the assumption that Chotzer at least sometimes is Mishum Shlichus. Who sees the wheels turning? What did the Gemara just tell us? If Chotzer is Mishum Shlichus, any person who doesn't have Shlichus doesn't have what? Chotzer. The Gemara gave us one example of a person who's out of the parasha of Shlichus, a Katan, but guess what? I got another one. With another one? Okay. If you put two and two together, put Bavitziya Dafyam and Beis, combine it with Kedushin Dafyam and Beis, look over, you come to the conclusion that a Goy doesn't have a Kinyan Chotzer. If I want to give a gift, if I want to sell something to a non-Jew, and he doesn't want to bother picking it up, I want to put it into his backyard, the Pashta Dvar Mitzvah is not Kinyan. The institution of Kinyan Chotzer, which is a form of Shlichus, that's the simple reading of the conclusion of the Gemara, if chotzer is shem shlichos, so anyone who doesn't have shlichos, like a katan, like a goy, doesn't have chotzer. So if you combine kedushim emalos, the notion is for goy, with bavitziyah daf yud, that chotzer is shem shlichos, 1 + 1 = 2. The conclusion should be that a goy doesn't have a kinyan chotzer. That conclusion was drawn by one of the early acharonim, the Birchas HaZevach. He was known as the Birchas HaZevach because he wrote a parish on a few things, but one of his parish we wrote was on Masech HaZevachim. So as it became known as the Birchas HaZevach. So the Sefer Birchas HaZevach, he writes this as the Milchus of Pshita, that a goy doesn't have a kinyan chotzer. No such thing as a goy being created with a kinyan chotzer. Because of this, the Birchas HaZevach turned the world upside down. He just connected the dots, and he concluded logically a goy doesn't have a kinyan chotzer. He turned the world upside down in the realm of Hilchos Mechiras, the Hema Tahora, for the purposes of Bechor. There's a din that firstborn animal belongs to a Jew. It's Kaddish B'Bechorah. That applies even in Bizman, when there's no Beis HaMikdash. We pass it applies even in Chutzlaretz. If a person owns, a Jew owns the firstborn animal, it becomes Kaddish B'Kedushas Bechor. What are you supposed to do with it? It's a disaster. You're not allowed to shecht it, you're not allowed to work it, you're not allowed to shear it. You can't do anything with it. You have to wait around looking at the mum. Total disaster. So what do we do to avoid this problem in the first place? So Gemara says, beginning of Maseches Bechoros, they should sell part of the animal before it's born. Sell part of the mother before it's born. The Torah says, Bechor only applies to Yisrael. It's got to be Kula B'Yisrael. If a goy owns even the smallest part of the animal, it's Ois Bechor. So this has been the practice for the last 1,800 years. Since the 2,000 years since the days of the Churban, that's been our practice, to sell a part of the mother to a goy before the baby is born, thereby circumventing entirely the halachas of Bechor Behemoth. Comes the Birchas HaZevach and says, how are you going to sell the mother talk about. What mechanism are you going to do? So we'll talk in a moment, a little later, what mechanisms were suggested. One of the famous mechanisms that was suggested is, what's the big deal? Just take the animal, the mother, and bring it for a split second to where? To the chatzar of the guy, and then take it back again and shine. Hinni mucham zum, I'm selling it to you. Says the Bichus HaZevach, nothing doing, it's not going to work. If that's what you did, your mechira was command the lace, it was meaningless. The animal still belongs to the Jew. It's Kaddish B'Bukhar. It's an Issa Deraisa, the Shechtis Deraisa to work with it. He's back on a disaster. Says Bichus HaZevach, don't even dream of relying on Kiryat Chatzar for the purposes of Bukhar Behemet Tahira. Because put together these two Gemaras, it's not going to work. Move the clock forward a couple hundred years. In the days of the Rishonim, this was a hot topic, selling Bukhar Behemet Tahiras. It was a very, very hot topic in the days of the Echaronim as well. It has become an almost moot topic, Bisman Hazeh. Except in Eretz Yisrael, the kibbutzim, Moshe, they still have stuff to deal with this. But for most of the class, well, it's moot. This change has happened in the last 100 years or so. The Jews stopped owning animals back in Europe. So the Jews owned a lot of cattle, a lot of sheep, a lot of stuff. So this is still a very, very relevant issue. How do I know that this was so common until fairly recently? A good way to test, if you want to make a sociological study as to what areas of Halacha and Shulchan Aruch are very, very popular, which are not, if you take a look at the Pischa Tshuvas. Pischa Tshuvas are the collection of the Tshuvas that are printed at the bottom of Shulchan Aruch. They're the collection of the Tshuvas of Lamaisa, the things that were contemporary issues. So if you open up in your day, Hilchos Bukhar Behemet Tahara, you see these pages and pages and pages of long, 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 long Pischa Tshuvas. The days of Chassam Sofer, a little bit before, a little bit later, in the 1700s, 1800s, when Jews were, everyone lived on the farms, so the people owned loads of animals, and all these complicated shahs, they forgot to sell the animal, they sold the animal this way, they walked away with it. Every possible scenario was discussed. This man Hazeh, we're still waiting for the Bukhar Behemet Tahara shahs. It's not on the wife's Smicha curriculum anymore, we haven't had too many of them, so they're not so popular. Things change. But Hilchos Bukhar Behemet Tahara, as popular it was in the days of Rishon, the early Acharonim, has fallen out of popularity today. But all the lomdus behind the mechiras that used to be done in the Middle Ages have become very, very popular today in a way that didn't exist in the days of Rishon. In what area? Mechiras Chametz. Mechiras Chametz has taken the place for us from Bukhar Behemet Tahara. Why? In the days of Rishon, nobody sold Chametz. You know why nobody sold Chametz? Because nobody owned any Chametz. The Sefta says in Maseches Pesachim from the Tanoim, if a Jew happened to find himself on a boat, or on a cruise, or a Pesach, and all of a sudden he realizes, Gevalik, he forgot to sell his chametz, what does he do? If he forgot to get rid of his chametz, what does he do? So the Sefta says, Nebuch, Nebuch, find the guy in the boat and try to sell to the guy in the boat. You get the impression that the Sefta, a normal person, who's selling the chametz? The guy's not on a cruise, he's home, what is he selling chametz for? What grandiose chametz does he have? A couple of pieces of bread, let him finish it, whatever's left over, he should burn. In the olden days, there were no preservatives in bread. Bread didn't stay for long. Nobody had crackers. Nobody had these kinds of things. Nobody had these things didn't last. Nobody had these kinds of things. Schnapps in the days of the Tanoim, the Maron wasn't even made. The beer was made from fruit. It wasn't even made from barley. Barley beer was started in the later days. So, in the olden days, the days of Chazal, who sold chametz? What did he sell chametz for? Who owned any chametz? The days of Rishonim, nobody sold chametz. Already in the 1600s, the 1700s, the Jews started to get involved in the beer business, in the schnapps business, in the food business, in the caterers, in the pizza stores, and the night there. And all of a sudden, Jews owned thousands, billions of dollars worth of food. We have turned what didn't exist in the days of the Tanoim to Rishonim into a multi-million dollar industry. So all the Acharonim people, how do you sell chametz to a guy? What mechanisms do you use? All the posts can write, well, whatever mechanisms work for Bukhar Behemet Tahara, work for Mechiras Chametz. It's the same sugya. It's how to transfer ownership from a Jew to a goy in 5 simple steps. So comes the Bichus HaZevach and says, you want to sell your firstborn animal to a goy to get out of Bukhar Behemet Tahara, don't even dream of using a kiryat chatzar, because it's not going to work because of Babitzir Dafyud combined with Dushtaf Mem Aleph. So come the later post and say, who are the Nami? If you want to try to sell your chametz to a guy, so I'm going to take my bottles of schnapps and put it into Mr. Brown's backyard. It's not going to work. It's not going to fly because a guy doesn't have a kiryat chatzar. There's a famous chumah from the Bichus HaZevach. Comes the Ktzos and says, Mechilas Kovah, the Helig of Bichus HaZevach is not right. It's against the Mefarshim. He dug up a Gemara in Maseches HaBeit Hazor. It's complicated. We'll leave it out. He dug up a Gemara in Maseches HaBeit Hazor that sounds like a guy does have a kiryat chatzar. So shtickle rye from the Gemara, then Goy does have a kinchotzer. Fractic Tzaisan himself, but the Birch says Zevach is right conceptually, because of Chotzes Vishum Shlichos, and there's no Shlichos for a Goy. How can a Goy have a kinchotzer? What's Pshat? The Chorah, the Birch says Zevach's Lomdus is correct. So Tzaisan has a Gemara to deal with. So what's Pshat in Gemara? What happened to Birch says Zevach's Lomdus? Everybody say, let's go back to the source, back to Mishnah Femal for a moment. What was the source that there's no shlichus for me? Who remembers the Lashon or the Joshua? Came to Ribu Gamatem? Atem Gamatem. Ma'atem. B'nei Bris? Av Shlucha B'nei Bris. Just the Torah speaking to the Jewish Mishalech saying, you're a Jew. Your shlich has to be exactly like you. You can't appoint the shlich such a radically difficult. He says, he's a non-Jew. He's so different from you. Can't be a shlich. Who sees in that Gemara the beginning of an answer? I think it says. The beginning of an explanation why there can be shlichos of chatzah for a guy.
Oh, just like you have a
chatzah. No, because the guy. We're trying to figure out because the guy is mufka because atem gam atem. Because after all, the Torah is saying that shalech shlich have to be the same. Well, maybe one could argue as follows. Well, the Gemara says about Metziyat Avyud that a Kotan can have a Shaliach. And in Kedusha Memalaf, the Gemara says that a Goy can have a Shaliach. Are those two halachas the same?
One's named Kinyan.
Well, they can both play after Kinyanim.
No, but know that a child can't be Kona something. He can't take or give back.
Not so simple. That's a complicated statement. At least in the realm of Gittin, when the Gemara is talking about a child can, a Ketana can receive a gift. So that's a very, very loaded. You may be right to some degree, but it's not going to help us here. So that din again. We have two halachas. One halacha is that a goy can't have a shliach, and one halacha is that a kohen can't have a shliach. It's the same kind of halacha.
What's a das issue?
Is it really a das issue? We're not really sure why a kohen can't have a shliach. You're mecharan to kivega. We're going to get to that down a couple of sugars down the line. Comes a ktsais and says, it would appear to him as follows. When we speak about a goy, not a shaliach, not being a shaliach, everything is derived from that phrase, atem gamatem. The mishalech and the shaliach, that's the goal. Focus. Mishalech and shaliach have to be civil to one another. If you hold that chotzer is mishum shalichos, can we say with a straight face, the chotzer mishum shlichos, atem gam atem? You, mishalech, and shlich have to be identical to one another. It's a joke. Why is it a joke? The mishalech is breathing, walking around alive, and the chotzer is a piece of land. Obviously, if you hold that chotzer is mishum shlichos, it's a different type of shlichos. It's not the shlichos of Parshas Korach, atem gam atem. It's a new brand, a new type of shlichos. It's a type of shlichos that is not governed by the limitations of Atem Gam Atem. Because Chotze, by definition, is the greatest violation of Atem Gam Atem. It's the ultimate stira to Atem Gam Atem. Atem Gam Atem is saying, let's make Mishlech and Shlech almost identical, as cozy as they can, as close to each other as they can. And Kot the Torah says, oh, by the way, it's a pasha of Chotze Mishim Shlichos. It's a joke, it's a leitzonos. Eimucho lack of Atem Gam Atem, Golem is yes, as it says. It's an elowah. The parashas haTorah that chotzes is mishum shlichos is a chiddush haTorah that even though the regular rules of atem gam atem are not being met, we forgo those rules. We're meichel mevatas on those rules. Whenever you're dealing with the chotzes mishum shlichos, the regular limitations of atem gam atem don't apply. Therefore, says the Ketzais, the din that there's no shlichos for a goy, which is part of the atem gam atem picture, part of that package of atem gam atem, that limitation doesn't apply to Chatz Mishum Shlichus. Chatz Mishum Shlichus, by definition, is never governed by a Tem Gam Atem. But when it comes to Ein Shlichus L'Katan, Ein Shlichus L'Katan means that the whole Pash, anything that touches a Shlichus, doesn't speak to Katan. Maybe Noam's right, maybe it's a Chesed Das, maybe not, I don't know. We'll have to talk about that hopefully a little later on. But at the end of the day, there's no Shlichus for Katan. Not because of Tem Gam Atem. The Gemara never said the mochor for ancient Shlichus of Tem Gam Atem. It said, no, the mochor, but the ish, the mind, whatever drasha is. comes to Ketzos and says, when it comes to the inability of a Chotan to have a Shliach, then and only then the Gemara says in Mabitzit Dav Yud, if Chotz is Mishum Shlichus, a Chot doesn't have a Shliach, doesn't have a Chotzer either. So when it comes to the din that a Chotan is Mufka from Shlichus, so for that halacha, Chotzer doesn't apply to a Chotan. But when it comes to the din of a Goy being Mufka from Shlichus, says the Ketzos, a Goy can have a Chotzer, because anyway the din of Chotzer Mishum Shlichus have nothing to do with the Temgam with them, because it's an inanimate object that's so Mufka from the Parashah of Temgam with them. So a Shtek Mitzvah. So why did this become such an important topic in halacha, both in terms of Bechor and then later years in terms of Chametz? What made this so relevant was a major machlekes, a gemar machlekes, a marai machlekes, a mishem halacha, unresolved issue in halacha. How do you transfer ownership from a Jew to a guy? Very simple, straightforward question. I own a bag of potatoes. I want the bag of potatoes to become John's potatoes. But Talmud, how do you do that? What's the answer? What's the secret? There's a Parshas HaKinyanim. What is the method of the Kinyanim? So the Gemara at the beginning, Sefer Bechor has a startling statement. The Gemara tells us, the answer to that question is, how do you transfer ownership of that bag of potatoes to a Jew? How do we sell potatoes to a Jew? But Talmud, how do you sell movable items from one Jew to another? What's the mechanism of Kinyanim? We know Maseches Kedushin, Isha Niknis Begimul Derachim, Karka Niknis Begimul Derachim, Kezer Shtach HaZorba. Evident reason nicked it this way, how do you sell a tatman? So comes Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lachish about Mitzin Hav Machlekes. Rabbi Yochanan says, Devar Torah, Mos Kodesh. Minat Torah, cash. That's the way to acquire a tatman in the Torah. Maybe the Rabbanan, maybe not, but not for now. Rabbi Yochanan says, Vidar Raisa, Devar Torah, Mos Kodesh. Rish Lachish says, no, Devar Torah, Meshicha Kodesh. Devar Torah, you cone something by handing it over, he picks it up, he makes a kid of Meshicha on it, drags it, picks it up, etc. That's how you cone things, Minat Torah. So how does that impact on Jews selling things to Goyim? Comes the Gemara with a startling statement in Bechoros and says, whatever mechanism works to sell property to a Jew, to sell movable property to a Jew, doesn't work for a Goy. And whatever doesn't work for a Jew, does work for a Goy. Why is that? V'chisimku mimka la'amisecha. La'amisecha means a Jew. La'amisecha ksiv. That gzeres akasa la'amisecha, says the Gemara, teaches us, the parshas HaKinyanim between two Jews is the opposite of parshas HaKinyanim between Jews and Goyim. If it works between two Jews, then it doesn't work between Jews and Goyim. If it doesn't work between Jews, then it does work. So you pick and choose whoever you want. You want Rabbi Yochanan or Rish Lakish. If you're a Rabbi Yochanan person, that minat Torah, the way that two Jews sell things is through kes, through kesef, through cash, and the way Jews and Goyim sell things to each other is through what? Through the opposite, through Mashiach. And if you're a Rish Lakish person, that Jews and Jews sell things to Mashicha, and Jews and Goyim sell things to Kesef. So basically, with that background, it's an unresolved machlokes of Rishonim, who we paskin that? Because Rashi Rabbeinu, how do we paskin the Loch of the Shayla? Tachlis, I have this animal, I want to sell to the Goy, the animal's about to give birth, I want it, I want this belong to the Goy. Tachlis, it's in 10 minutes before this man, Hanoah Chometz, I got this Chometz sitting around, I got millions of dollars worth of schnapps, I want to transfer over to Mr. Brown. What do I do, Rabbi? What kinyan do I do? So the answer is, half the Rishonim say, you better do a kinyan kesef, the other half the Rishonim say, you better do a kinyan mishicha. If you hold, all you have to do is a kinyan kesef, that's an easy, easy kinyan. The guy gives you a nickel, he's kind of a kinyan kesef, down payment, cut everything and finished. If you hold his mishicha, we are up the creek. Mr. Brown's got to go into your house to pick up your schnapps, then into his house to pick up his schnapps, his house, his store to pick up his pizza doughs that are in the freezer. He's got to go to the house to pick up his cereals, to the other house to pick up his crackers. He's got to go to every single Jew and pick do a ma'aseh b'shicha. Not practical. It wasn't practical to pick up all the animals of all the farmers. It's not practical to do b'shicha either. So what do you do? According to Hefter Rishon, we don't have a legal mechanism. We don't have a way to transfer ownership of Pialocha to a guy. If you hold that Dvar Torah, Moses is kindness between Jews, then Dvar Torah, Mashiach is kindness between Jews and Goyim, it's just not practical. What do we do? So come to Rishonim and Maseches Bechoros and write the following lashon. Say, forget about Kinyan and Mashiach, forget about Kinyan, forget those Kinyanim. What you should do is as follows. Have the Goy purchase some of your land where the animal is, or whatever. We shouldn't talk about animals, we're going to plug in chametz, same thing. Have the goy give you some kesef for the land. Kesef is kind of, by the way, karka, even for goy. Ephraim, say Ephraim. Tzadkes v'sam. Let the goy be kona some of your land, and Shalom al Yisrael, now he'll be kind of the animal, now he'll be kind of the chometz. Everything's great. Do we understand that?
Agav.
So, comes the Ketzais and says, what kinyan is this? I'll tell you exactly what it is. Now you said, if kinyan what? It's Ketzais speaking. Kinyachotzer. The mechanism is, sell a piece of the land to the goy first. Once the guy owns the land, quote unquote, symbolically, the halakhli owns the land, and again, it's on that land, he can be cutting with a kid in chotzer. He's still cutting the animals, ois b'chor. He's cutting the chametz, no bayer of about city problems. So we invoke the kid in chotzer, says the ketzais, that's what the Rishonim meant, invoke, forget kes, forget Mashiach, it's too complicated. Machlech's Rishonim, use kid in chotzer, shalom my soul. It's the kid in, the best kinyonim, best of all the kinyonim, kid in chotzer. Says the Bechaz, Zerach Netzah, what the Rishonim meant. They couldn't have meant that. Because kinyan chatzah doesn't work for a goy, because they should chus the goy. So what did they mean? Now you can say what they said. They meant kinyan agav. Kinyan agav means, if I sell you at the same time karka and metalpolin, I could sell you some karka here in metalpolin, China, and Yekonya. That's not kinyan chatzah. Kinyan chatzah means, I sell you a piece of land. Anything that's on that land, whether it's on that land now, it's going to come on that land in an hour from now, a week from now, a year from now, 20 years from now, on that land itself is cutting you with kinyan chatzah. Kinyan agav, totally different kinyan. Kinyan agav means anything that I sell simultaneous to the land, even though it's not on the land, is also a big deal. Said the Birch Zevach, everybody misunderstood the Rishon. Everybody thought that the Rishon, the Tais, the Rosh Mecheres meant that the goy is going to be cutting the animal, going to be going to the chametz with the kinyan chatzah. Nein, said the Birch Zevach, it's not going to be cutting with kinyan chatzah because of Kedusha Memal combined with the Mitzvah Daf Yud. So he's going to be cutting with a kid in the agav. That's going to be the kid that's going to carry the day. So the Ketzais turned around to the Birch HaZevach and said, wrong. Kid in agav is not going to work. You know why? Because Tosis writes, but come, kid in agav is only a kid in the rabban. It's not a kid in the rice. It's not going to solve your chometz and b'chor problems. So the Bechoykes, the G'dayli HaPais came to the Birch HaZevach and the Ketzais. What did the Rishonim mean? The Rishonim came to solve the problem. You can't pull off a kid in Mashiach. It's not going to fly practically. So the Rishonim instituted to make another kinyan with kesef on karka. And then what? So I bought the goy bought my karka. Whoop-de-doo. What's he going to do with my karka? So the answer is he's going to be kind of my animal, my chometz. What mechanism are we going to use? According to Hefti Achranim, the Birch HaZevach, chutz is not going to fly. We have to make a kinyan agav. According to Ketzais, agav is not going to fly. So we have to make a kinyan chutz. So we're not sure what the Rishonim meant. So what do we do? Because man hazeh, we do both. In the Shtar Mechir, we write up a document, the bill of sale between the Jew and the non-Jew. We write explicitly that we are hereby selling a little piece of land, renting off a little rest. We rent a little piece of the land, wherever the chometz is. We rent the rooms, wherever the chometz is, to the non-Jew. And then we write, we are hereby transferring ownership of the chometz to you through the principle of kinyan chatzer. We explain some legal jazz what the kinyan chatzer is. And then we write, we are also transferring ownership to you through the principle of kinyan agav. So we cover ourselves on both bases, in case the Ketzais is right, in case the Birch HaZevach is right. But then at the very end of the document, we write that either of the kinyanim should work. We don't want it to be misleading. It should be a legal technicality. The kinyan's only good if both of them are work. No, one of them doesn't work. The Birch HaZevach passed the Ketzais, and the Ketzais passed the Birch HaZevach. So we play it safe, and we write, either one that works, we're happy with either. We don't need both, we just need one. We're just not sure which is the right one. So we know for a fact either agav or chatzah works. We just don't have a clue which one it is. So the hesitation of the Birch HaZevach, the elimination of the Birch HaZevach of kinyan chatzah, was based on agav or kedushin of memala. So it all starts with that sugya, because there's no shlichus for a goy, and if you have the chatzah, there's no shlichus, and there's no chatzah for a goy. And the Ketzais responded, it's not true, that the limitation of chatzah, mishum shlichus, wouldn't apply to the issue to a goy, because the temper with them doesn't apply to the kinyan chatzah, mishum shlichus. So again, Avaycha Yibcha between the Jews, between the Birch HaZevach and the Ketzais. The whole purpose, we put the final touches for our purposes on the sugya of Enshichus Yaakov. Enshichus Yaakov has a lot of potential, real nafkaminas. Chaps nafkaminas and Hilchus, we spoke about 2 weeks ago with the veterinarian from the Sira stories. Chaps nafkaminas and Hilchus Chametz. Chaps nafkaminas and Hilchus Zoras. Wild, crazy scenario, Hilchus Gittin, all revolving around Kedushin after Malfkin. What we do is that
not for
agav. No, what we do is we do schiras on the land. We don't do it because you can use You can use chotzer works, according to most opinions, on a kaka soil also. That's what we do with this. We don't actually sell it. We rent them.